Well, I thank you so much for opportunity to come and speak to you concerning things of the Word of God. Are you getting something out of this conference so far? Oh, Lord, last night, I'm telling you, I'll take those notes. I'm about to go to India. I'm going to just take those notes and live off of them in India, praise God. Well, we're going to continue on with what we left off with last time. And you could hear some of the things that Brother Copeland was talking about last night and how some of those things weave right into what I was teaching on yesterday morning. And it was just, it's amazing how the Holy Ghost puts this together. Praise God. Amen. Let's open our Bibles again to our foundation scripture. It's found in Isaiah chapter 55. Now, if you don't want the truth, this is a good time to go sit in the car. The truth shall make you free. Amen. Like I said, what I'm teaching on preaching is something that's happening in my life. It's not that it's something that I heard somebody say, somebody thought they heard somebody say. It's what I've experienced in my life, and it works. Now, it doesn't work because I experience it. It works because it's the Word of God. But my experience here is something that also I'm teaching and preaching out of in terms of the Word of God. Because I'd like to always kind of give you an example. And one of the things I try to do is give you an example of my life. I mean, I know what happened in Abraham's life. I can read about that. I've heard about what's happened in Brother Copeland's life. That's fine. But I want to know what happens if I do it. I'd like to be an example of what this scripture is saying, too. I'd like to prove this thing. Praise God. And Colonel, that was a powerful testimony last night. Powerful, powerful. Well, let's look at this and see what the Lord has for us. Verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways in your ways, and my thoughts in your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Now, if you look at this 11th verse, he said, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish," the word shall accomplish, "that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." This word. And that's how powerful the word of God is. It shall accomplish something. It will prosper. You know, when I look at the scriptures, I even look over there where we saw in Micah chapter 5, it talked about the prophetic word that came from Micah, talked about in verses 1 and 2, talked about that there will be a child born in Bethlehem Ephrata. And so it's talking about baby Jesus, talking about the fact that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And then you go into the New Testament, and you see where that Herod had taxed everyone. And that Joseph, and he was espoused to this woman, Mary, and she was full with child. Meaning that she had, she's now really getting to that time that she was going to deliver. And that because of the taxing, they had to come back up to Bethlehem for the tax rolls and so forth. And I guess that's something of a custom in that day you had to do, had to go back to your hometown or whatever. But while she was there, apparently she went into labor. They had to find a place, and there was no room for them at the Hilton. It is Four Seasons, praise God. we'll leave the light on for you. And and they ended up there in the manger. And I think it's prophetic about that too. It's a lot of things. But baby Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And even after he was born, you see the Christmas greeting cards, you see, you know, the shepherds and wise men all at the manger. And that is not the picture that the Bible paints. Because when you talk about that manger scene, there were no wise men at that manger. Okay? They came about 2 years later. It's right in the scriptures. And they came to his house. And there was nothing in the Bible about three wise men. Got it? Now, what I'm saying is if you want the right thoughts, you're going to have to get your thoughts from some other source. You got to not get them from this Babylonian deceptive society that has been out here training people and trying to keep us enslaved to a system that exists without God. Okay? Now, how it got that way, I think you know Jesus or Adam in the garden. And Adam was now in fellowship with God. He was also in the garden. In the garden, in the garden, there were all the provisions that Adam would need. Everything that Adam would need was in that garden. And also that Adam had an assignment. And the assignment, it's like Brother Copeland was talking about, his assignment was to replenish this earth, to repopulate it, to recover form of fullness, to stock with abundance, to perpetually renew and supply it, and so forth. That was his assignment. So all this was Adam's part, and Adam was in the garden, and in that garden was that Eden represented also the presence of God. So God and Adam were one. They weren't two. And so now God gave Adam a prohibition, and the reason how he gave him the prohibition is with knowledge. Knowledge was given to Adam to protect him. And so in that, Adam now, you know, Eve came along. Adam first had to name the animals and so forth and so on. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. And whatever Adam would call them, see, in the Bible says that God formed the animals of the dust of the ground. I look over here in Genesis chapter 2, I also see where God formed man of the dust of the ground, formed his body. But then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He called him forth. So mankind then stood up, a living, speaking spirit like God. And I would imagine the same thing happened to the animals. They would land there, but Adam had to call them forth. And so now here is Adam naming all these animals. And the one thing that Adam didn't have in the garden was toil. Now I had to look up the word toil because it's significant. And some of what I'm going to talk about is talking about that today. That this word toil has to do with exhaustive labor. The 1828 Dictionary of Webster has toil meaning to strive or to strain. It means to exert strength with pain and fatigue of body and mind. And it is designed to wear you out. And no wonder people want to retire. Can't you hear the word in it? Tired. Yeah, because we were never meant, think about, now let's change our thinking about work. Because work is something that God gave us for us to really be able to tap into the giftings that he has placed in us. It's interesting things about potential. Potential doesn't come forth without demand. Either you put a demand on it or some other thing put a demand on it. But you have been given great, great potential, world-changing potential. And so that is inside of us, and work brings it out. See, you're not working for a living. And when you work out that potential, then the gifting in you is exposed and glorifies God. So work becomes worship. And that's one of the, oh Lord. Okay, let me start. Let me come back. Praise God. Okay. Now, but if, can you imagine work being pleasant? That he has to give you a rest day, because if he doesn't, you love it so much you just work right through? Okay, all right, okay, all right. But no fatigue is what I'm talking about. God didn't stop creating everything because he was tired. Well, praise God, I'm worn out now. No, he was finished. And so as we look, God created an atmosphere like heaven called the garden, Eden, and put man in it because he was designed to be in it. And his assignment was to make everything like Eden. Now that's assignment. Once God speaks something, he won't return to him void. I just told you that. That's what the scripture just said. It will accomplish what it said. All right? So, as we look at this, we were giving some examples yesterday, and I won't go back through those. I'll try to keep going here. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. All right, Revelation chapter 5. He says in verse 11, "And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." So this is called your inheritance package. Okay? That's yours. Everything in there is yours. Now who got it back? Jesus got it back. And you are a joint heir with Christ. So everything he gets, you get. I really believe that's why Jesus himself doesn't know when the whole thing is going to be over with, when he'll come back. Only the Father knows. And I believe he doesn't know, because if he knows, you're going to know. With your nose itself. Okay, praise the Lord. But to receive power. See, you're not fighting an intellectual devil. You need power to move him. And he is not moved and not threatened by anything other than power. You can't think outthink him. You can't. No. You need anointing. You need power. Look at the next one there. Riches. Oh, Lord. You know, if, you know, folks, this whole thing about, you know, being poor for Jesus. You know, if God liked poverty so much, why ain't he poor? I'm supposed to imitate him. I won't say any more about that right now. And wisdom. And strength. Let's just deal with a couple of these. Praise God. This is good stuff. How about strength? All right. Let's put something right there. We're going to come back to it. Let's go over to Joshua chapter 14. This Bible that I use here is one of the Brother Copeland's Bibles that they publish in the ministry. And this thing is worn out. And I got another one in my bag. But you know how you put all your stuff in here and you just, man, you just can't afford to change. Anyway... Joshua chapter 14. Now this is when they're taking the land of Canaan. And look what it says here. I'll start reading at verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God, and Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. Now that word in the Hebrew is kaya. Kaya, it means to revive or to live. It means to quicken or to recover, to repair. We get back into that whole word now, replenish. Alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. How old is 85 years? Anybody? 85 years old. Yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go in, go out, and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Now, this is Caleb talking. And Caleb is saying here that I'm as strong today as I was when Moses sent me out some 40-some-odd years ago to spy out the land. My strength is preserved. Now, how did this happen? What made this happen? Let's go back and see what they said, he and Joshua. Let's go back to Joshua and, Numbers chapter 13, please. Numbers chapter 13. All right, Numbers chapter 13. Look what it says here. When they came back from spying out the land, verse 28, here comes a negative report from the 10 spies. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And Amalekites dwell in the land to the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. See, if I would have seen that, you know, I would have said, you know, it's how you think, you know. I said, my Lord, they're up there in the mountains. They're down here by the seacoast. That means I got a house in the mountains. I got a house down here. I got you a beach house. Praise God. Amen. But no, they saw it as an obstacle, not as an opportunity. And it depends on how you see it. And let's go down here in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Glory to God. Amen. Now notice what he had. He had something called another spirit. Now I saw that when I went over here in the New Testament. Lord have mercy. Glory to God. Come over to 2 Corinthians, if you will, and chapter 4. I think that's where it is. Praise God. Let me know when you get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, and we having the same spirit of faith, according to as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken, we believe and therefore we what? We speak. So notice what kept him. What kept him was his faith and what he believed. And he had to keep that confession for another 40 years. He stayed right there on that confession. He wouldn't turn from it. And that's in staying in faith, it kept him with strength. Let's go to another place. Let's go to Genesis chapter 47, please. Genesis chapter 47. Now remember, strength is a part of your inheritance. God never planned for you to go out of here senile. Come on now, help me now. Well, you know, I'm getting old. My mind ain't what it used to be. Now, wait a minute. Did that come out of the Bible here? No, it didn't come out of the Bible. Don't let that come out of your mouth. Say amen to that. Your confession ought to be, I'm getting stronger and more smarter and everything. My memory is blessed and so forth. Yeah, you got to do that because you're in a corrupted earth. You plant flowers in the garden and you go away for about 2 weeks and come back and weeds are in it. You didn't put the weeds there. You're just in a cursed environment. So you got to maintain who you are. You got to get up in the morning and say something. Look in the mirror and start saying something. Say, boy, you the finest looking woman, man, I ever seen in my life. You know you are more than a conqueror. Give me this mountain today. I'm going out here. I'm going to be blessed going in the job and coming out of that job. Just don't get up there and look at yourself. Lord have mercy. Folks, let me show y'all something. You know it's in the book. See, everything that Adam needed was in the garden. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to? See, everything you need is in the book. And if it's not in the book, you don't need it. I had run across a scripture, and I'm telling you, it just tickle me. It's in here, praise God. I might not be able to. It's in here somewhere. Oh, I'm getting close. I can smell it. Can't you? Amen. He said that I'm just, this is not a part of what I want to do, but it just, okay. All right. Well, it's in the book of Job. You know, we go in Job and we find other stuff. But there are some good things in Job. All right, but anyway. So look at Genesis chapter 37. Now this, Genesis chapter, did I say 37 or 47? All right, we'll start at 47. All right, praise God. I know how to change. This is when Joseph brought his father, Jacob, down to Egypt. Now, understand, because of Joseph being raised up and demonstrating the blessing, he now is preserving the world from famine and destruction. And so now his brothers, Lord have mercy, I got to tell you the whole story. His brothers played a trick on the dad and brought the coat that was had blood on it and told him, and didn't say it, but the coat had evidence that the blood was perhaps, he thought it was Joseph, and he thought Joseph, you know, had gotten killed. So his father said something. His father basically said that an evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. That's found in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 33. And then Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth on his loins and so forth and mourned. And he talked about the fact that I will go down to the grave unto my son mourning. And his father wept for him. So the father thought that Joseph had died. That's right. Now, what did Joseph represent? He represented the blessing, but he also represented the seed. Got it? And Jacob thought somehow the covenant had failed him. Doubt came in because of what he saw. And that's why you can't be moved by what you see. You move by what you say. And so what happened was, then notice a famine started coming, and Jacob said, I heard there's corn or food in Egypt. Now, notice the blessing is powerful enough to meet your need independent of circumstances. But where Joseph had worked the blessing with Laban, now because of what he saw concerning his son or his seed, he now is doubting this thing, that this thing is going to work for him, and he left his faith. He left his faith and went over into the world's way of thinking, and then had to go and send down to the world to try to get some food. So his brothers go down there, and when they go down there, here's Joseph, because now Joseph is over the storehouse. Why? Because he had wisdom as to how to avoid the famine in time that the famine would come. Oh, Jesus. Y'all stay with me. Can you stay with me? So Joseph had given Pharaoh what to do, and Pharaoh did that, and now the storehouses are full. Now, who's over the storehouse? Joseph. Who is Joseph? Kinfolk. Y'all ever had kinfolk over something? So now here comes the sons down, because they're not practicing the covenant anymore. They're left that. And now the dad is sending them down there for some food. So they go down there and they don't recognize Joseph. He's talking in the Egyptian language. He's different and so forth, grown up and so forth. But Joseph recognizes them. So notice, a lot of times, the Bible says that Jesus is our elder brother. A lot of times, we don't recognize him and that he's over our storehouse for us. These are kinfolk. Say kinfolks now. And so that's why many times we hesitate about sowing. All right. Well, that's all right. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm still talking about strength now. So what happened was, they sent down there, and he gave them some corn, and he gave them the food and provision, but he put the money back in the sack. Why? Because everything that you need is already paid for. Boy, that didn't excite a lot of people, but that's all right. Folks, I'm going to tell you how extreme I get. See, you can't tell me nothing. I get extreme right away. I looked in the scripture, and something occurred to me. Believe God for your taxes. I said, okay now. All right. I said, now show me that in the Word. He said, go over to David. Over in where he asked what would happen if you slay Goliath. What would happen? They said, well, one thing, you'll get tax-free status. I said, all right. I said, but Lord, it takes two witnesses. He said, well, come on over here to Matthew chapter 17. He came and asked Peter, does your master pay taxes? Peter said, well, yeah. Jesus came in, sent Peter to get some tax money. Watch this, out of the fish's mouth. So notice, I'm going to pay my taxes, but I'm going to be reimbursed. All right, okay, see, that's worth something right there. I mean, yo. See, if I see it in here, whatever's revealed to you will be restored to you. I got to get back to the garden. This is my Father's world. I don't mind paying them, but let me get it out of the fish's mouth. Y'all get it? Boy, I believe as fast as I put it out there. I mean, even vacations. I said, oh, I'm going on vacation. My wife and I started planning. We want to take the whole family and so forth. And it's a gaggle of them. And so what he says, I said, okay, baby, that's a pretty strong price tag there. She said, yeah, so it is. And I go in prayer, and God said, why don't you believe me for it? See, vacation's been paid for. Let me come over here. Vacations have been paid for. I'm talking about a vacation that you don't have to eat bologna all while you're out there. Somebody say, back to Eden. All right. So what happened if you go all the way over and go over to Genesis chapter 47. Here's when Joseph now is bringing his dad down. Now understand how his dad came to know Joseph was there, because Joseph sent evidence of the blessing. And he said, Joseph is alive. There's your word again, Kaya. And notice what he said in verse 6 of Genesis 47. And the land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell, in the land of Goshen. Let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? All right. You know, when people ask you that, is this the right bunch I'm talking to? Yes. They want to know for some kind of reason. And I'm telling you, I got this thing out of hearing Brother Copeland preach on something like this. And I saw where 70 or 80 years is not supposed to be the end of our life. Are y'all with me? That was written in Psalm 90 for a disobedient people in the wilderness. But I'm telling you, you're supposed to be kicking 100 and running the marathon. See, y'all ain't doing me right now. I want you to laugh with me. All right, strength. How about wisdom? Now, strength is something I'm saying that you, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall what? Quicken, renew, perpetually renew, and supply your mortal body. So that's what you do. You get in this word, and you see these scriptures and so forth, and perpetually renewing things, bathing those cells, making it so everything is there. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyesight was not dim, neither his natural forces of being. Folks, I'm telling you, there are meetings now that I'm hearing about that the glory of God is falling. I'm talking about heaven on earth. I'm talking about whatever is in your life is not like heaven. It removes it. It is taking people who have lost hair, they get hair back. It's taking people who have lost teeth, the teeth come back. It's taking people who are overweight, the weight drops off. One man got up and his pants fell down. I'm telling you, nobody touched him. Nobody did anything. It's just a heaven coming to earth. It's just God preparing his people for his coming. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Wisdom. Now, the thing you have to do is first understand that God has planned for you to have a toil-free life. Plan for you to have a toil-free life. And I prepared this yesterday, and Brother Copeland preached some on it last night. The thing that I preached, it was a series I preached on the God factor. The God factor. That what people do sometimes is they tend to leave God out because we had been trained that way. And now you've come back into a new thinking. You got to put God back in it. So there's nothing really impossible for you. And so God sometimes will lead you into places that are beyond your capability. In other words, he'll lead you to a piece of property you can't afford. He'll lead you into a fight that you can't win. Oh, I got some amens on that, I think. I'm just saying a problem that you can't solve, but understand, with God, come on, all things are possible. And don't look at it when God leads you into it. Don't look at it and say, oh, Lord, what are we going to do now, Lord? There's no way we can do this, so forth. Wisdom. We were going to, God said, I want you to possess that mall. So now, I sent one of my members over to the mall, and he looked at it. I said, go over there, and God's speaking to me about us purchasing that mall. Go over there and look at that and see if, in fact, that's something, you know, that we can do. So he went over there, and he looked at it and came back and said, Pastor, we can purchase that little part on the east end down there at the mall. I said, man, God didn't tell me no East End. He said, purchase the mall. What? The whole mall? I said, yeah, that's what God said. Now, understand, when I say you can't afford it, I'm talking about you without God. That's what I'm talking about. You can't win the fight. God said, hey, told him in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, he said, these people that you're going to go up against, they're much mightier than you are. But they're not much mightier than God. And so once I understand God's ability is my potential, then I'm in good shape. So what happened is I said, oh, okay. So I said, Lord, now this thing looks too big. He said, well, reduce the size of it. I said, well, how do I do that? He said, meditate. And I went and got a word, and God gave me a word out of Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you. Now remember what I said. He's taking you back to the garden. And there is not a single problem out there that wisdom cannot solve. Now, God had the answer before the problem ever came. Now, what happened was, I then took that scripture and meditated it. Meditate means to mutter. It means to confess. It means to think about or ponder. It means to muse. It means let it fall down in there and then bring it back up again, so forth and so on. And once you do that, then what happens is that seed makes a demand on your soil, which is your heart. And your soil then contacts God and sweeps the wisdom or avenues of God for an answer of how to solve that problem. Say amen to that.
Amen.
For you to sequentially process through your years and time of reasoning, trying to toil and figure out how to solve that problem is not the best of God. I don't have to do that. I said, I don't have to do that. Because the first thing you find out is that the answer ain't in there. Am I right about it? Now think about this. Any problem that you may have, there's a solution to it. Well, Pastor, you don't know. I got a problem that I need an answer by tonight. So did the three Hebrews. That, see, the Bible says in John chapter 6, when Jesus told them to feed the multitude, the Bible says he knew what he would do. He didn't know what he would do because he processed it through his experiences. He knew what he would do because the answer from God is downloaded. Am I going too deep or am I just up here by myself? There is not, your inheritance is wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, not your problem. And God drops wisdom down in your spirit. The wisdom of God is the voice of God. You get in his word and all of a sudden answers start coming to you. So let me tell you what I did. So then what happened was, we finally got it. Now, that's a whole series of miracles. But it came first through me meditating a scripture that was the seed for my promise. So I got to find seed that promises me what God said. And I've got to take the seed and plant it by speaking it into my soil. Once I've done that, the soil goes to work to bring the seed to pass. Are you following what I'm saying? All these spiritual principles I'm giving you now. All right, so we purchase it, but now the government of that village doesn't want us to move in there with a church. Say, we're not going to do it. Can't let you in there. I said, now, wait a minute now. I said, we purchased them all. It's ours. They said, but we've zoned you out. Now, what I didn't know is they sneaked downtown, changed the zoning. Come on now. I'm talking about the devil trying to stop the advancing of the kingdom. Can't stop it, folks. Can't stop me. Can't stop you. Can't stop your cousin. Anybody that's saved. So what happened? I said, oh, Lord, what are we going to do now? That's my natural mind. Something said, seek the wisdom of God. So I said, okay, I'm going to go to bed early tonight. Because we had to have it the next day. Now, I asked our lawyers. I said, what can I do to possess this mall? I have no place for these thousands of people to go. We thought we were in there. They came, changed the rules. Now here we are. You know, I said, what do we do? So one of the lawyers, guys sat on our board. He said, Pastor, you're just going to have to sue them. I said, well, how long is that going to take? Well, could take 5 or 6 years. 5 or 6 years. I said, man, I got to be in there tomorrow night. Understand, you have a time-sensitive situation. No problem for God. Come on. No problem for God. What did I do? Okay. What am I going to do now? All right. Here we go. I'm going to bed. So I asked him, asked another guy, so forth. They gave me all these answers that come out of this natural mind. I said, I'm going to bed. I went to bed, got up early that next morning. I began to pray. Spirit of God said, pray in the Holy Ghost. So I began to pray in tongues. God led me over to Proverbs 20. Come on over there, please. Proverbs 20. Let me know when you get there. Come on, say no more toil. I'm not toiling for anything. No, I'm saying that. I just want you to say. The kingdom of God, one of the reasons for its teaching is to teach you how to operate independent of the circumstances of this earth. It's about having the ability of your rule over this earth restored. Every morning, the Holy Ghost teaches me a lesson. And if you get in his Bible, he'll teach you one. Every day, almost, just about every day. So he took me to this. Look what it says. Verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will do what to it? Draw it out. I began to speak in tongues. And as I spoke in the spirit, prayed in the spirit, my dipper went down into the river of wisdom. Come on, began to dip this thing out, see? Remember this, whenever you're in trouble, Jesus comes to you. That's something you might want to write down. So what happened? God spoke to me. He said, all right, go to Romans 13. And take verses 1-5, I think it was, and read it to the mayor. Read it to the mayor. And read it out of the Living Bible. And have your secretary to print it up so that you can read it off of a sheet that's the typing is large enough that you won't have to use your glasses. Well, God is something, man. God is something. Now, understand, where did that answer come from? Came from the kingdom. What did it seem like? It didn't seem like that's going to do much because we're not used to that kind of stuff. We're used to, you know, I'm going to get you at 3 o'clock, brother. You just watch and say, I mean, that's what we're used to. We're not used to higher principles, but you're getting used to them now. Praise God. So I did exactly what he said. So I go, wait till the office opens to the government that morning. I said, now, understand, this is Wednesday morning. We have service Wednesday night. I got no place to take all these people. I call up, say, I'd like a meeting with the mayor, please. Dr. Winston, she's tied up all day today. Is this about that mall? I said, yes, it is. We've already settled that. The council had voted and so forth. I said, sir, I understand that. I said, because we are still in this village and I'm a citizen of this village, I demand to see my mayor. Hey, let me see. Are you going to be around for about 15 minutes? I said, yeah, I ain't got nowhere else to go. I'll be right here. Call me back in about 15 minutes. Pastor Winston, she will see you at such a time, 12:30 or something. She'll see you for 15 minutes. I said, yes, sir. That's all I need. I just got to read Romans 13. Listen. Say amen, somebody. Amen. All Joshua had to do was march. He didn't tell him to do nothing else. He just said on the seventh time, or what time was it? Seventh time, I guess it was. He said, I want you to sound the ram's horn and everybody shout. Now, up until that time, he said, make sure everybody shuts up. Amen. Close their mouth, because their mouth can get them in trouble.
Right.
And when you're in a battle, shut your mouth.
Right.
I'm telling you, the pressure will be on you to say blah, blah, blah. You want to say something, shut that thing. You got to put something over it, bind it, put a handkerchief over it, put some tape on it, do something.
All right.
But don't say anything other than God said.
That's right.
The word of the kingdom will deliver you.
Yes, it will. All right now.
And it'll deliver you every time. This guy said he was in there, he'd heard my preaching, and he was talking about his wife and him. They had this old raggedy car, wouldn't holler run. He said, we need a new car. And they went down to this place to get a new car, went down there, sat down, they looked at the car in the showroom, they liked that one, sat down with the guy keyed in, wanted to get the Social Security, wanted to check the credit. Credit was so bad, the guy shook his head and said, sir, I don't think there's anything we can do for you. And he said, why? He said, your credit is just... The guy sat back in his chair because he remembered my teaching. He sat back and let God talk to him, let the wisdom of God, the mouth of God is the wisdom of God. And God said, get up and walk around the car seven times and come back and sit down. He got his wife in the showroom, walked around. I'm telling you, all you got to do is be of good courage. God has worked out your situation before the foundation of the world. He walked around that car, walking around there, and then came back and sat down, and God said, tell him to key it in again. He said, sir, could you check it again? He said, we just checked it. He said, no, sir, could you just check it again? He said, could you? And the guy said, yeah, checked it. God said, I must have typed in something wrong. Wait, let me see. God, truth. God had erased every bad credit he had on that thing. God can reach in the computer and make you debt free. Somebody say, well, I didn't earn that. It ain't about what you earned. Once you come into the kingdom, it's all paid for. What did I do? Prayed in the Holy Ghost. What did I do? Listen for God. Bible says you can pray and interpret. Now, I got that because Brother Roberts really taught that down at seminary, down at ORU. How to pray in the Holy Ghost and interpret. And he said, this is what you do. Go read that. So I got that appointment. Here I show up. I'm showing up. I sit down with the mayor. Oh, Reverend, come on in. Sit down. Sat down. Little one, two sentence of chit-chat, you know. Be nice. And once you know who you are, you don't get mad no more.
That's right.
Why are you going to get mad when you got dominion over everything that's up in here?
That's right. All right. That's right.
If you think it's a racial barrier that keep you from success, you have just been deceived. If God be for Bill Winston, there ain't a man alive. You have been given authority over this earth despite what country you come from, what country you live in, what language you speak, what background you have, how many years you served in jail. I'm telling you, whatever you have back there don't count no more. Once you come into the kingdom, whomever the Son sets free. So what happened? Sit down. And the lady is in there vacuuming. Ooh. Now, I'm in the same office with the mayor. Woo! The mayor was trying to hear me, and looked like the more I talked, the closer the lady got with the vacuum cleaner. Woo! I said, man, this is nothing but the devil. So the mayor said, excuse me, honey, could you come back in just a few minutes and you can finish that up? I just want to talk to the reverend here. I mean, she was apologizing to this lady. And I said, okay, all right. And then she left out. And I began to read Romans 13. And I told her she was a minister and of God. And I said, read that thing here. And when I read that, that God is the one over everything. And so, listen, I just read it. And I didn't even get all the way through it. Wait a minute, Reverend. And went in the other office and came back. I didn't know it, but she went in there with the building commissioner. He was having a meeting with the union. And she came back out. Now, she looked like she had seen a ghost. Face had gotten pale and everything. Now, listen, I'm responsible for that. The only thing I'm responsible for is reading what he told me. Come on.
That's right.
See, I don't have to sequentially process through all my experiences to reason out an answer. I just download it. No more toil. I said, no more toil. What happened then? She said, Reverend, are you going to be around for about 2 hours? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, now the council has voted, but I don't know what I'm going to do. Now, I mean, this thing is on her. And so I went out about 2 hours, called. Reverend? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, now, listen to what I'm going to do. I've called around, can't reach any of the councilmen. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep the police away, and I'm going to let you go in there for one night. I said, yes, ma'am. After that, the Lord changed the zoning.
Amen. Amen.
Now, let's do one more. Talking about the God factor. Right now, I'm teaching on living in the supernatural. And letting you know that the life that you are now in is a supernatural lifestyle. You're not supposed to live by faith when you got a problem. 24/7 you live by faith. And we were teaching about marriage and how I think marriage sometimes has not been really taught like it's supposed to. Think about it. Marriage itself is a miracle. Come on. Now, what I was telling him, like he said, the word will not return to me void, but it shall prosper. Two things. One, that the Word of God is the controlling factor in any situation. I'd married my wife. We were all kissy face. And then about 6 months later, something inside of me starts saying, you done married the wrong woman. At the same time, the beef, roast beef, got tough. Come on now.
Yeah.
Y'all mind if I tell this? And I'm telling you, I said, oh, Lord. So I'm trying to figure out a way now what I'm going to do about this. So I went to a meeting where the man of God was preaching on confession brings possession. When you're in a new government or in a new kingdom, you got new laws. One of them is the law of confession. Another one is the law of leadership. The way you lead in the kingdom is by serving. But anyway, I got out of that meeting and got a little book called Praying God's Word. And I opened it up and read this prayer on my wife. I didn't read it on me because I didn't need no help. Come on, men, y'all know what I'm talking about. We ego tripping, you know what I mean. Father, I thank you that my wife is a virtuous woman. She always does me good as long as there's life within her. Bread of idleness, gossip, discontent, and self-pity. She does not eat. She gets up early, gets spiritual food to the house, assigns her maids to task. She does not court neglect of her present duties by assuming others. She opens her mouth with skillfully and godly wisdom. In her tongue is the law of kindness. She gives counsel and instruction. She looks well on how things go in her household. The bread of idleness, gossip, discontent, she will not eat. Lord, I thank you that the word is working mightily in our marriage. We've been transformed into the image of Jesus by the renewing of our mind. Then I say, that ain't true. Watch this. It is true.
That's right.
It may not be a fact in my marriage, but it is true.
That's right.
Now my job is to get heaven to earth.
That's right.
Heaven has the truth.
That's right.
Got it? So, remember, your ministry doesn't grow out of time. It grows out of truth. There are people that had ministries for 40 years and ain't over 40 people. It's truth that grows it. So anyway, what happened? I started reading that, and I kept reading it. Now something started happening to me. Turn to Matthew real quick. I'm running out of time here. Matthew chapter 15, very quickly. Something started happening to me. Now, remember, your outlook is based on what you're looking out from. Look what he says in Matthew 15 and verse 12. Then came his disciples and said to him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this? Watch this saying. Verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father, come on, has not planted shall be what? Rooted up. So there was a plant in me that the Father didn't plant. And it's in each one of us in certain areas. And what we got to do is come up to the truth and take the truth and root the plant out. So what was I doing when I was saying that? I was planting new seed. Seed from the Garden of Eden. And I was planting that seed so that I would root out whatever image was in there that was not supposed to be there. What image did I have? My parents fought until they divorced. We were so glad that they separated, we didn't know what to do. You couldn't bring your friends home. You couldn't do anything. We were miserable. And that came inside of me. So the moment I got my marriage and this woman who God had given me, now the enemy is going to energize that image and try to make me separate and do the same thing that happened in my family. But let me tell you, because I'm born again and a citizen of the kingdom, now I have rights to some things. I went in that Bible, I began to say that, all of it was scripture. It began to change the image inside of me. Next thing I know, the beef was tender. And the love was good. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, oh, we just kissy faith. Now we got a marriage made in heaven. Oh, the enemy, watch it. He tried to come up against it one way or the other. Each time he comes, it's just like flicking fly. Boop. Just get on off me, devil. Go on out there. He tried to make me think that, though, for where you are. Won't even work now. Why? Because I got heaven on earth. I got something now that's Satan proof. Oh, we love each other now. Amen. I wish y'all had what I had. But that's all right. That's another lesson. Last thing. So now what I was going to tell the people, I said, listen. I said, now, God has an answer for abuse. Y'all just hear me out. See, it's an answer for everything in here.
That's right.
And sometimes if we don't have the wisdom of God, it's almost impossible to get out of situations. In this last day, because the enemy, the Bible says in Revelation 12:12, he knows his time is short. And he's come with great wrath. So he's trying to tear up marriages, trying to tear up kids, everything. So you're going to have to know the word of God. So what happened? This is my last point. I told the congregation. I said, God has a way. Now, I understand. The Holy Ghost taught me this. I said, God has a way that you don't have to be abused. All right. Everybody's quiet, just like it is now. I'm talking to women now. I said, let's go in the Bible. So I took them to Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. Come on in. Come on over there with me, please. Now, I just straightened out the men. See, this, what Brother Copeland teaches in this ministry, why it's so blessed, because he teaches principles. And it's up to you to apply the principles to marriage. Come on. Your business, it's the same principle. That's what principle comes from. It means foundation, or the Latin fundus. It has to do with the very the bottom of something. It's where everything else comes out of. All right, let's look at this. Daniel, y'all got quiet over there, boy, I tell you. I'm about glad they warming up my airplane now. Okay, all right. Look what it says here. Daniel chapter 6, and they threw Daniel in the lion's den. Now, Daniel was in there all night, and the lions wouldn't eat him. Now, Daniel's time to come out, because God spared him. But the king couldn't sleep all night. He hated to do that, but according to the Medo-Persian law, see, that's a part of the revelation of the kingdom, of the rule of law. Look what he says here, verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, King, live forever. Now here's Daniel in there all night. It wasn't any lights like it is here. Black, dark, all you hear is that. But they wouldn't eat Daniel. Because Daniel now is under a covenant. Got it? Now with that, the king says, Daniel, is everything okay? Is the God that you serve deliver you? Daniel said, long live the king. Now notice, no bitterness. When people mistreat you and you know who you are, you don't have any bitterness. All right. Now, what happened? God showed me that. But the lions were hungry because you see in the next verses, they threw the bunch in there that framed Daniel. And the lion just had a field day. I mean, had supper. All right. I said, well, Lord, I see that. Now, what's that got to do with abuse? He said, turn to Genesis chapter 20. This is the last place I'm going to take you. And I went over to Genesis chapter 20. And when I went to Genesis chapter 20, we have three services in our church. The first service, 7 o'clock service, they didn't cheer too much. 9 o'clock service gave me some cheer. And then the last service, the 11 o'clock, the Democrats, they gave me all the cheer. Okay, now, as we look at this, okay. All right, let's look at this. That's all right, praise God. I'm a Christocrat. Okay. All right. All right. Now look what it says. This is when Abraham had come down there to Gerar, down there in the country, and Abimelech was a king. And Abimelech said to Abraham, Abraham said, now tell the king you're my sister. Don't tell him you're my wife. So now Abraham's still trying to understand his blessing, get this blessing revelation in him, see. So now what he does is and the king took Sarah in his palace. Watch this, verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night, watch this, and said to him, behold, you are but a dead man. For the woman which you have taken, for she is another man's wife. Wow. You are but a dead man. And I said, let me tell you something, women. You are under as just as much covenant of blessing as your husband is. Just like the enemy can't hurt people we pray for on that battlefield, they can't hurt the wife in the house.
Amen.
And I preached that, like I said, last service, you know, first service thing. And so I got mixed reviews on that. So I'm kind of wondering, Lord, did you tell me that? That's what you told me to preach. Remember, hearing the voice of God is a stronghold of faith. Don't ever forget that. Once you hear the voice of God, you locked. Nobody can break you away from it. The problem with most people, they never heard God's voice. They're just trying to do what Bill Winston said he did. Now, so what happened? Said, I went, took my wife out to breakfast the next morning because I'm trying to do what I'm preaching. And we went out to eat. And she got a text while we were eating. Sister Veronica, tell Pastor Winston what happened to this situation with Abraham is the same thing that happened with my mom and dad. Mom, dad used to be physically abusive to my mom. And she cried out to the Lord. And the Lord came to my dad in a dream and said, you are but a dead man. I got the email. She wrote it up, a long write-up. She said, and he changed like that. Watch this. And they now been married 60 years, happily married. What am I telling you? I remember Sister Gloria telling a situation where a lady came to her and she was trying to get her healing. She said, Sister Gloria, I'm just trying to get it. Can't get this healing. She said, you know, I just asked, you know, I mean, I'm doing all I know to do. Can you tell me what the problem is? She said, yeah, you don't know enough. That seems like a very simple answer, but it's true. Don't know enough. And knowledge is a thing that we have to have. And as you come to meetings like this, take some knowledge away from this thing. Now, what am I saying? God is a good God. He knows how to touch the life of every person. Who was it? Smith Wigglesworth? Look what he did. He was unsaved. His wife trying to go to prayer meeting. He told her that last time, woman, you go down there to that prayer meeting and you're not coming back. I'm locking the door. She said, oh, Smith, don't. That's what she told. Very kind. But she left, went to prayer meeting because they were going to pray for him. Watch this. Went to that prayer meeting. Once she got there, started to come back, tried the door, it was locked. What did she do? Laid by the door, put her coat over her, and slept out on the porch all night. God gives his beloved sleep, supernaturally. Then the morning, Smith opened the door, you know, to go out, and she fell in. Oh, Smith, would you like some breakfast? What am I telling you? Watch this. The God factor. The God factor you're talking about now is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. For the fruit of the Spirit, come on, is love, peace, joy. Watch this. Long suffering. What is the fruit? What are the fruit of the Spirit? Supernatural disposition. You don't have that disposition naturally. Why do you need it? Because God plants the righteous among the wicked on purpose. And you got to have a disposition to handle what they throw. And you can't get it in your own ability, but it has to come from God. I love you. God bless you. Keep walking by faith. Praise God.